If you would, take your Bibles and turn to the book of Acts. We're going to continue in our study tonight in the book of Acts, chapter 15. Acts, chapter 15. We are grateful, again, for the technology that we have to be able to do this. And I'm thankful to see that the Lord is helping other ministries as well, doing the best they can, but it just seems like God is working mightily. Other ministries are doing live stream, and how wonderful that is. And I'm hearing great reports, even from our missionaries. It was such a blessing to read. Perhaps you already read Jason Hamby's letter, just came out, I think it was just today or yesterday. But how they're on lockdown there in Canada due to the COVID-19. And he said that it is unbelievable the response that he is seeing to the messages that he's preaching, the response he's getting via live stream. People visiting from all over the place around that, even that community, that area, and more than he's seen. And he said that If this continues to increase, when they get back together, he said he's going to have to get him a glass pulpit. And he, of course, Jason's funny. He kids around like that. But it is neat to see God really working through these trying times. And God is using it for His glory. I do want to encourage you to pray for other church ministries. I try to make it a habit to pray for those churches in our area, in our community, that are preaching the Word of God, seeking to win people to the Lord, trying to introduce people to the gospel, trying to encourage the saints, and pray for these ministries and pray for our missionaries. I hope that you do that. You should have in your directory, you have a picture of the missionaries, their names, the names of their children, and also you have a bookmark, perhaps, that we gave out that has most of our missionaries. We've taken on a few new ones since that bookmark, but anyway, any little thing like that to jog your memory would be a blessing. Well, I hope you've had a good day today. How many of you were able to get a good Baptist nap? And I hope some of you, I saw some of you this morning, maybe some of you took one about 10 a.m. I'm just kidding, but I am thankful. I hope you got some rest today. And you know, something I just thought of, I got to make sure I go to the bank before the Sunday when we all get to come together, because that Sunday night I'm going to have a lot of birthdays to honor, because usually on Sunday nights I honor all those that have celebrated a birthday, and so we'll have to have a good time with that when everybody gets back here. Hopefully sooner than later. That's our prayer. That's what we're asking the Lord. I just really enjoyed being here this morning in the mess with the service, being outside, even though we had rain. It was just a sweet spirit here, folks, and I hope you sensed it at home too. If you were tuning in live stream, folks are just excited about God's word and God's people just being together. There's an encouraging spirit there, and also I was encouraged. It was the wonderful lunch my wife prepared. That's always a blessing, and also something I had for dessert that I'm almost hesitant to tell you, because I don't want to make anybody envious here. That's not my purpose. I want to be an encouragement to you tonight. But my wife last night cooked. She asked me if I would be interested in it, and I didn't have to think about it very long. But she asked me, would I be interested in a iron skillet chocolate chip cookie? Well, I didn't have to think about that very long. I was very interested in an iron skillet chocolate chip cookie. And I want to tell you, it did not disappoint one bit. It was so good. And there was leftovers today that I had for dessert. And listen, I don't know about you, but there may be packing on a few extra pounds during this COVID-19 pandemic. But that's all right. We'll run it all off and listen. But anyway, I'm thankful for the little things in life. I told my children the other day, I said, kids, life's going to be absolutely miserable for you and for anybody, in fact, that does not find blessings in the little things of life. So try to do that, and it'll help you a lot. All right, well, you found your place in the book of Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15, and we're going to pick up where we left off this morning. You'll remember this was a major event in church history. This is the Jerusalem Council, and they made a very important declaration. There was confusion again with Judaism. There were Judaizers who were trying to push the ceremonial laws and the laws of Moses upon Gentile believers, and it caused a lot of confusion. But nevertheless, God used godly men and a godly church to set the record straight, and Pastor James did that. And we noticed that this morning. We read that account. Well, we're going to see part B of that, because what James did is he came with the apostles and elders that were gathered there in this debate. And when he gave his final declaration, he basically just had those men there and those leaders. But now part B is going to be him sending a letter with this news, which is the inspired word of God. We have the account of it here. He's sending this news to these Gentile believers in Antioch who were, quite frankly, were confused and they were scared. They were fearful. There was a lot of doubt okay, are we saved? Do we have Christ? Do we have eternal life? Do we have to start keeping all these laws? There's a lot of questions there. And so, again, God is going to bring clarity. And we're going to look at part B tonight, just a little different aspect than we looked at this morning. But notice with me in your Bibles, in Acts chapter 15, notice verse number 22. Then pleased it the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas surnamed Barsabas and Silas, chief men among the brethren. So what we have here is now that the leaders have met together and discussed this, now they've gotten together with the whole church and everyone has decided and chosen certain men to go with this message. And I want to tell you, it just wasn't picking just so-and-so randomly. This was a very serious declaration, a very serious message that needed to be set straight, and therefore it needed to be taken by very serious-minded men of God. Men who had a great reputation of being godly and filled with the Spirit of God. And that was Paul and Barnabas and Barsabas and Silas. And so these four men, which I look at them as perhaps like a special ops team. They're taking the Word of God, the inspired Word of God, to these believers that we have recorded here in the book of Acts. And I want to tell you, had to be trustworthy. And I'm sure Satan would try to do anything to discourage this trip back to Antioch. But they made it, and they were very successful, and that's what I want to look at tonight. Let's pray and ask the Lord to lead us. Father, oh God, what a joy and a blessing. I'm so thankful for the Bible, for the book of Acts. And Lord, I don't want to ever take it for granted. Lord, I realize there are people across this globe who don't have a Bible. People groups, whole communities, whole towns that have no Bible. They don't even have it in their own language. And here we tonight, Lord, are so blessed to have the whole, complete Word of God. And so, Lord, let us be thankful tonight, first of all, that we have it. And then, Lord, help us to be faithful, to handle it with integrity, with carefulness, with reverence, and with guidance given by the Holy Spirit of God. And Lord Jesus, I pray that we would love you more because of it and serve you better because of it. And may you receive all the glory. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we have this team that has been chosen to go to Antioch. And notice with me there in verse number 23, they're going to send the letters. And they wrote letters, the leaders did, by them after this manner. All right, so this is the message that the people in Antioch are going to get. It first of all says, the apostles and elders and brethren send greeting. And the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. For as much we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words. Now we're going to come back to that, okay? You can underline that because it's very significant. Troubled you with words. And then it goes to say, subverting your souls. That's another phrase, a good phrase to underline. Subverting your souls, saying, ye must be circumcised and keep the law. To whom, get this, James is very strong with this. To whom we gave no such commandment. James is cleansing his hands right there to make clear that, folks, this did not come from our church. This did not come from my teaching and my preaching. This was a special group of people, just a certain group of people, I should say, that went and did this. And so, verse 25, the letter goes on to say, it seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. Men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth. Now we're going to get into the message here in just for a moment, but if we could give tonight's message a title, it would be this. Very encouraging news from the church in Jerusalem. I don't know about you, but I sure do like good news, especially in these days when we're hearing a lot of bad news. There's something refreshing and helpful and uplifting when we hear good news. Well, these men are going with some good news. And I want to notice several things about that. But and some lessons we can learn from this team, if you will. From this special ops team, from their character, and even the message they're taking to the church of Antioch. Notice with me, first of all, I'd like to see that we can take a lesson of how we should place a priority on God's Word. If you're taking notes, number one, we can learn how we must place a priority on God's Word. Look with me, if you would, at verse number 24. James says here, writing to them, that basically we heard that there were certain men, and it's interesting that he says, from us. So it was from the church, and it was some from a certain group that I guess they had a their own ambition. They had their own objective, but they didn't have the approval of the local church. But he said they came from us, and notice that it says, have troubled you with words. Now that word troubled is the same word we find that Jesus used in John 14:1, and when he says, let not your heart be troubled. That word troubled is almost gives the idea of palpitation. Makes your heart beat faster. Have you had any of that recently? Where you look at certain news or you see the situation that's happening in place, boy, your heart feels like sometimes maybe skips a beat or gets to beating faster. I think we've all have sensed that in our own hearts. And that's what happened to these Gentile believers. Man, these Judaizers started preaching the law of Moses to them, saying, y'all are not saved yet. Y'all got to start keeping the law. Man, if somebody would have told me that as a young believer, it would have scared me. It would have frightened me. I got to do what? As a Gentile believer, not even understand the Jewish culture at that time completely, but and not as much as one who was born and raised a Jew in that culture, there would be a lot of intimidation there. And there was a lot of trouble, and James recognized that. He says, I understand you've been troubled, but you know what James is going to say? But I got good news for you. He's going to tell them that here in a minute. But not only did that bring a trouble to them from these men's words, and that's what I want to notice there. It's very significant. What troubled them? Well, James just says, with words. You know, words can be very damaging. Words can be very hurtful. And we have to, as believers in the one true God, in the God of the Bible, we must without fail, make sure that we are putting a priority on God's Word more so than man's Word. We get a lot of man's Word, don't we? We have to compare man's Word with God's Word. And that's what James is going to teach these men. Here, let me tell you, they're going to reinforce God's Word. The same thing that God had taught Peter back there in Acts chapter 11. That the Gentiles were to be saved by faith, through faith, by grace alone. And he's going to reinforce that. And you know, it's a lesson for us. It's encouraging news when we know that we just need to be dependent upon God's holy word. Let me bring some application today, if you would allow me the liberty to do that, with our Bible lesson tonight. We have a lot of words, don't we, that we're hearing every day from hundreds of channels, hundreds of avenues. That we're hearing it from, whether it's through the TV, whether it's through the internet, whether it's through the radio. Please, friends, be careful on the words that you're hearing every day. Do not let them overpower the words of God. You have got to make sure and practice spiritual disciplines. You and I have to make sure that even though there are words that are appropriate to listen to, we know that from man, but it is always to be compared first to the Word of God, and it is never to overpower or be overemphasized than God's holy Word. You know, notice what it did. Notice there in verse 24, notice that phrase there, subverting your souls. Now that is a very strong word. That subverting, it carries the idea of basically making you feel unsettled. It's basically like picking you up and moving you around. I heard a story just recently about with some of these tornadoes that just came through. I think it was last week that they came through, and some very dangerous ones, in fact. But this one that I heard about just today, someone was telling me that they saw a news clip where a center block home, very strong, very founded, very established, was picked up basically and moved out into the center of the street. That's what this tornado did to this very strong house, this strongly foundational house. And you know, that is a perfect picture of what that word subverting means. That false doctrine, those words of the Judaizers, had not only troubled them, but it had made them so unsettled in their soul and spirit that it just moved them about. Like a tornado would a house or trees and things of that nature. And I want to tell you, it can happen to us today too. I find myself even falling for it. And I hear of Christians falling for it where they take so-and-so's name as the gospel truth. CNN and Fox News, Sean Hannity, Rush Limbaugh. Listen, I'm not telling you not to listen to these guys, but what I am telling you to do, don't make that your gospel every day. Don't make that what's giving you your foundation, because if you listen to that all day and you ignore this blessed book, you're going to be troubled and you're going to be unsettled. Because I know you know this, and I'm not trying to question the integrity of any of those people, but I will tell you this, they make their money by keeping you glued to their news station. They make their money. Folks, you won't believe what I have today. The news I have today is earth-shattering. I'm telling you right now, you want to tune in tomorrow, you won't believe what I have found out. My research team has gone where no one else has gone, and I have some news for you. Listen, I don't want to be critical of those men, but what I will tell you as the pastor of this church and as a Christian brother, I want to tell you, do not let that stuff make you unsettled. Do not let it trouble you, because you have the right news. You have the good news. You know the end of the story. You know how it all ends. And you know that this book is living. And this book is dependable. And this book is trustworthy. And this book is going to make you alive every day of your life, because it is living. And this is what we need to be ingesting and digesting every single day of our lives. More so than the news of the world, because it's being pumped into us like never before. You know, even our president, and I'm not being critical of him, but even our president, who is basically speaking daily, and the word fails me that I'm trying to think of, but they have these news conferences, and again, I believe we would be very, very vigilant by making sure that we don't let the wrong kind of words in our daily life trouble us, or even to the degree of subverting. Are you full of fear right now and anxiety? Listen, if that is your case, can I just give you some, I believe, godly advice? If you're struggling with anxiety and fear, you need to turn off the news. You need to turn off those facets that are striking fear into your heart and mind. In fact, this is what I would recommend. I would recommend, I think it's sufficient to have 30 minutes of news in the morning to hear the news of the day, and then 30 minutes in the evening. That way you discipline yourself, you're going to hear it then. And then, you know, as far as social media, that would be another one. You know, everybody's got an iPhone, not everybody, but a lot of people do. And a lot of times you can find on a smartphone what your social media hours are. I don't know what your average is. I know what mine is. Sometimes it's more than others, whether it be 4, whether it be 8 a day on social media, whatever it might be. But here's another thing I would suggest. Limit that time. And practice to do that, because you feeding on that. We it's good to be in touch and connected and encouraged, especially when you're stuck at the house all day. Those things can be used in a reasonable manner. But if it's all day with the thumb just up and down, up and down, up and down, and all you're getting fed is the words of men's mainly opinions. Thank God when I open this book, no opinions here. No opinions, not one. It's all absolutely factual. The inspired, infallible Word of God. And that is where I need to put my emphasis every single day. And that's what Pastor James is going to emphasize here with these believers. Can I just share with you here, take the liberty of a few things? Now listen, I want you to know that as I pray, this is what I believe the Lord wanted me to bring tonight, because it's something that I struggle with as well. And the Lord's been dealing with me on this, in this area of prioritizing the reading of the Word of God. As a pastor, you know, I'm required to read a lot of the Bible for sermon preparation, Sunday school preparation, counseling. And if I'm not careful, you know what I can be very tempted to do? Is that to be my only diet of the Word of God when I'm preparing to feed people. And if I'm not careful, I could easily forget to feed myself the Word of God. And so this message is for Pastor Brinson too, I want to assure you. And so let's just look to the Lord together and ask Him to give us a renewal in our love and hunger for the Word of God, for our daily lives. And so let me just give you some things to think about when it comes to not just settling with the world's words. My friend Travis Agnew, who I went to high school with, he was a strong Christian in high school and still is today. In fact, he's a pastor over in South Carolina. Really admire him and look up to him as an example. When I was in high school, I was not saved. I was not living for the Lord. But Travis was. And Travis always stood out to me as one who was filled with joy. He was happy, but he was not partaking in the things that I was into. And I'm thankful for his example. But he wrote some things. He has a website, really helpful info. And he wrote some things in regards to this topic. And I'm going to share some of those with you tonight. Did you know that many of the books of the Bible can be read in less than an hour? Now, when I say reading, when I give the times, they say that the average person reads anywhere from 200 to 250 words per minute. That's going to vary. I understand that. And when I think in the times I'm going to give here, understand it's not for those of us when we're reading that we just stop and meditate on a verse. This is in the context of just reading for comprehension, but you just continue reading. You don't stop and think upon it in that context. Now, that's good to do, but in the context I'm speaking, I just wanted to be clear that it's just reading for comprehension, not stopping and meditating. This is what some of the, I believe, the facts are. He went on to say that that most books can be read less than an hour. He said 40 out of 66 books, that's 61% of the books of our Bible right here, can be read in less than an hour. Wow. In fact, some of the books will take the average reader 2 minutes to read. Now, I know some of you are thinking, now that's my kind of book. I know what you mean. But those are books like 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, Jude, some of these shorter books that are jam-packed with doctrine and encouraging words. But there's an encouragement here that we need to prioritize the Word of God. Listen to this. The average American watches TV, and this is about 2 or 3 years ago. I'm sure it's increased. The average American watches TV for approximately 3 hours a day. That may or may not be your statistic. But if you took the time watching TV and applied it to reading the Bible, you could read through one of the books each night. In fact, he goes on to say 61 of the books, there are 66 books of the Bible, 61 of the books, that's 92% of our Bible, get this, could be read in one day's television consumption. You get that? If you were to read at an average speed, if you were to read for 3 hours straight, you could read nearly 92% of the Bible. That's amazing to me. The only books you couldn't read in an average television watching span. Now, again, those are the books that you could read. 92% of the books, not necessarily all of them at the same time, of course. But he goes on to say this. An average television watching span would that you could not do it in are like the book of Genesis, the book of Psalms, the book of Isaiah. I think Psalms was recorded as being the longest to read. I think it was 5 hours to read the book of Psalms. Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel. If you would like a scale, which I thought was really neat, if you'd like to see a graph where it's laid out with the average reading time, how long it would take you to read each book, go to desiringgod.com and type in 3 tips for better Bible reading. Desiring God, and go to that website, and it has a really neat chart that you could even print out, and it gives you all the books of the Bible and the average time it would take to read them. For instance, the book of Ruth, 15 minutes. The book of Philippians, 14 minutes. The book of Romans, 1 hour. 1st and 2nd Peter, 26 minutes. And again, that's just reading through for comprehension. It's an example of wow, I could read much of the book without long periods of time, in other words. And then if you block that off, and my thought is, if you just discipline yourself to read 30 minutes a day, I think we would all be amazed on how much of the Bible you would cover over a month period, reading 30 minutes a day for comprehension, just reading through at an average speed. May the Lord help us, and you know we are without excuse, are we not? I mean, I don't even know what the average person since the pandemic and we've been, quarantined. I don't even know what the average would be on Netflix. Maybe you could find that statistic. I'm not sure, but I'm sure it's pretty high. And I can understand why people are stuck at home all day. But think about this. You and I have no excuse, do we? You got Netflix, the time we spend on social media, the time you spend on news outlets, and then a lot of the young people on video games. How many hours you would spend. And here's the thing. I'm not saying any of those things are wrong. Please don't take it that way. Those things can be used for the glory of God. They can be used in a reasonable manner. But here's the point. We need to evaluate how many hours a day we're spending on those things compared to how much time we're spending in our Bibles. That's where it can be problematic. When one is up here and the Bible's down here, let it not be any amazement to you and I, friend, when we're troubled and even subverted, moved around, like destruction a tornado would cause. And so what we want to do is we want to bring that with a balance, don't we? We want the Word of God to make sure that's the main thing, the main Word that I'm getting daily. What would happen if God's people decided to spend more time in God's Word every single day? I tell you what would happen. I believe this would happen. There would be a reduction of sin in our lives. I believe that because the psalmist even said, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" He said, "By taking heed thereto according to the Word." How do we find cleansing? We get into the Word and we apply it to our lives daily. There's another one that says in Psalm 119, verse 11, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not what? Sin. That I might not sin against thee." There's something supernatural and living about this precious book. And it's not a cure-all. In other words, if you say, well, if you read 30 minutes a day, you will have no sin in your life. No, no, no. Not going there. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is if we are sincere and go to this blessed book every day of our lives with a meaningful heart, a sincere heart of wanting to grow in the Lord, I want to tell you there will be a reduction of sin in your life. There will be more of a hatred for sin and the things of this world that dishonor Christ. You'll have a more of a hatred for it. And by the way, it's okay to hate sin. It is absolutely prohibited and should be a hatred for sin, because sin is an offense against God. And thank God the Lord forgives it. Amen. And He does when we come to Him confessing it. But we should strive not to let it be in our lives. You know, I think about that. I think about Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5. The Bible says, "Every word of God is pure." Get this. "He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him." You know, friend, as we see the Word of God tonight, I think about the importance of God's Word. As James were to say there, you were troubled with words. But you know the problem was? It wasn't God's words. It was man's words. And my exhortation and admonition to you tonight and to me is that let's ask God for a renewal in our reading of the Word of God and our commitment to open it up every day and to encourage one another. You know, I think I'm gonna close there for tonight. I had a few more points, but I just believe the Lord would have me close there. But I want to leave you with a challenge. It's a Bible reading challenge. Now, please, before get concerned, I don't believe that it's overwhelming, but it's for the next week. And I would challenge you to do this along with me. As I prayed over this message and thought about this, I believe the Lord just impressed upon my heart to encourage you to do something like this. If you don't do it, doesn't mean you're not right with God. Let me assure you. But I would ask you to please consider it. But why don't we as a church, we're apart physically, why don't we read some portion of the Word of God together at the same time? I think it would be helpful to us to be unified around the Word of God in the same passages of Scripture. This is what I'm going to recommend, because we all read at different speeds. Would you consider reading together with me and all our church, reading these three books this coming week? Would you consider reading the book of Romans and 1st and 2nd Corinthians. That reading that, if you were to read 30 minutes a day, which is the goal, I believe, is a good standard for every believer. You say, well, Pastor, I read way more than that. Well, praise God. And I congratulate you, and I mean that. But what I am saying is that some may who are just starting their Christian walk and who are trying to discipline themselves to read the Word of God may not be reading at all, or may be reading just 5 minutes a day. So my point is I think those three books could be read easily over the next 7 days. And then when we come back together next Sunday night, I'll mention that. And maybe you could just read it again. This is not something that we're doing a book report on. It's just you reading it throughout this week. That's the book of Romans and the book of 1st and 2nd Corinthians. And don't get discouraged if you don't get through it. But would you at least try to start reading it? You may only get to Romans 14. I don't know. But if you're reading at an average speed without stopping and meditating and writing out, if you're just reading through, you'll be able to cover a lot more. And so would you consider that? Well, let me say this. Would you look at verse number 32 as we close? As they got to Antioch, and as they gave them the letters from Pastor James in the church in Jerusalem, notice what Judas and Silas did in verse number 32. And Judas and Silas, being prophets, also themselves, exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. Those many words were the words of God, the truth of the Word of God. And that word confirmed, yep, you guessed it. It means established. And my friends, if we want to be established every day of our lives, even through a pandemic, we need to feed strongly upon the precious Word of God. I hope you'll take that challenge to heart. I hope we all will. And I know the Lord will be glorified and honored as we seek to be established in the Word of God. Here in just a moment, we're going to pray. And I'm going to ask Noel, if you would, come to the piano and just play an invitational song. And this is a time for you just to reflect upon the message. Perhaps you can just sit there in the quietness of your home or wherever you are and just reflect upon how the Spirit of God has spoken to you in reference to the reading of the Word of God and not being taken by the words of men. Well, would you pray with me? Please bow your heads and close your eyes and just reflect upon the message if you are able at this time. As the musician begins to play, just let the Spirit speak. And then you speak to the Spirit with obedience. He's listening. Father, oh God, we thank you for your Spirit working in our hearts tonight. And I do pray that you'd use the message to glorify yourself and to strengthen your children. I pray we'd have a glorious week this week. No matter what comes our way in this life and world, may we be established and rooted and grounded, oh Lord, by your precious Word. May we realize Psalms like Psalm 1 where it talks about being grounded in the along the banks of the river, as a picture of being grounded by God's holy word. Father God, we are asking you to bring about a revival in our lives, in this season of this life, that we'd never be the same because of it. May you change lives, Lord, and may you get all the glory. Lord, if there's somebody that was tuning in today that's without Christ, Lord, I pray that you'd give them the courage and the humility to get counsel. I pray they would be willing to call us or send us a message asking for literature or asking for counsel. Lord, help them, I pray. And then I pray for every member of Crooked Creek Baptist Church and every Christian that's tuning in. I pray that they would leave this service tonight and leave this message with a renewed dedication to make much of your word. I pray all these things in the wonderful, precious name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Love you, church. Have a good evening, and we will be back together on Wednesday, Lord willing. Thank you.